Church family, happy Sabbath. I love being in God's house. There was something I was going to mention, if I could just remember. But as we are here on the Sabbath day, I praise God for the many things he's done this past week, and one of those things was a marriage seminar that we had. And if you weren't able to make it, we have that available online. Cam did a wonderful job in recording that and uploading that. It's on our church Facebook page as well as YouTube page. And I'd like to encourage us to always reignite the fire of the marriage bond that we have between our spouse and ourselves. And the thing that I remember that I forgot was this. As little by little, more and more, we are becoming a church of prayer. And some of us are embarked in a journey in the 40 days of prayer. And that's an exciting journey. And as we are doing that, church family, get ready, because God is doing things that man cannot do. I don't know about you, but I need a word from the Lord. How about you? Let us bow our heads. Loving Father, we come to you. We come to you because you have amazing plans for our lives. You have plans for our marriages. You have plans for this church. Because soon, Christ shall return. And we ask, Father, that what we receive here from your spoken word, that your Holy Spirit may impress in our minds and our hearts what you desire to do in our lives today. Speak, O Lord, for your servants heareth. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we get to finish this series that we started over a month ago. We started with the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, because his disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. And we could be tempted to say, God, don't teach me to pray. I know how to pray. I already pray. But the things that the disciples realized is that they themselves didn't pray as Jesus prayed, because Jesus did things that they themselves could not do. And so Jesus said the following, and you could say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you might be thinking, Pastor, how are you going to preach a sermon from just a small portion of not just even a verse, but the Lord's Prayer, like the very end of it? I mean, you just give preachers a moment of time and they'll make a whole sermon out of one word. But thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Look at this. The last, like the first sentence of the Lord's Prayer, points to our Father as above all power and authority and every name that is named. So just as we started our Father, as we're landing the plane to this prayer, we come to the same place, to the Father. Because the Bible is God's love letter to us of how we come back to God, and it is through Christ. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. What is it that the Father has given us? Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto, oh, unto you too. Hallelujah. God has given his Father, has given the Son the gift of God to you and to me. God has given his own Son, and yes, I'm repeating it on purpose, to you and to me. And last time I checked, that's good news. I mean, salvation, forgiveness, justification, sanctification, eternal life. That's like good stuff. This is what the Father has given to us. Wow. A reminder that every day I need the grace of God. Today you need the grace of God. Tomorrow you will need the grace of God. And every day thereafter. And if you're married, guess who else needs it? Uh-huh. They do too. How about your coworkers? They need some grace? Amen. How about the people we're sitting next to at church and interact with? Do they need some grace? Amen. It might be a good idea we start giving out some more grace. I need the grace of God today because last time I checked, I'm still a sinner. Jesus and John the Baptist had a sermon that went something like this. How'd it go? Repent, for the kingdom of God is where? At hand. It was as almost they had a little committee meeting. Okay, this is what we're going to preach. And they preached the same sermon. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But what is it that leads us to repentance? The Bible says, Romans 2 verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that what? The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You see, it's God's goodness, it's the grace of God that leads me, rather than doing the same garbage I've been doing, to actually want to do what's right. Why? Because somebody died for me. Somebody laid down their lives so I may not die, but rather live. And if I were to proceed in going and following through with that temptation and falling into sin, then what I'm doing is I'm crucifying Christ anew. I don't want to do that. How about you? It's the goodness of God that leads me to repentance. You see, my wife is very good to me. And since she's so good to me, guess what? I'm really good to her. I don't want to do bad things to her. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be testy. I don't want to treat her in a way that isn't nice. Why? Because she's good to me. And how much more so our Father in heaven? The kingdom of grace, church family, comes before the kingdom of glory. I'll repeat that again. The kingdom of grace comes before the kingdom of glory. What are you talking about, Pastor? We know what this looks like. This is a rendition of the sanctuary. Here we start to the far right, the altar of burnt offering, which is a symbol of Calvary. Then we continue to the laver, which is where the priest would wash after the sacrifices and enter the holy place. But you see, the laver is a symbol of baptism. You see, first we come to Christ. We accept him as Lord and Savior. Then we want to receive his cleansing that comes from the blood of Christ. And we now do service on his behalf. And we enter the table in the holy place, and the table of showbread is a symbolic of what? God's holy word, the word made flesh. And then right in front of the table of showbread is a lampstand. That is where we see the grace of God ever before us and the Holy Spirit now moving us to react to that grace. As the Holy Spirit, actually the Holy Spirit's been working actually from out here, because the Holy Spirit leads us to the cross. And the Holy Spirit nudges us and invites us to give our lives to Christ in the form of baptism. And the Holy Spirit is that one that said, how about spending some time with the Lord in His Word this morning? That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reminds me of the grace of God. And the Holy Spirit also leads me to the altar of incense, which is symbolic of Christ and His intercessory work. Also represents the prayers of the saints. You see, incense goes up or goes down? It goes up. And the prayers of God's people, they go up. And so this altar of burnt offering, a symbol of Calvary, is also known as the kingdom of grace. That's where we see the grace of God exhibited. But you know what? We come to the most holy place and we find the Ark of the Covenant, and within it were Aaron's rod that is budded, the Ten Commandments, and a jar of manna. Above the Ark of the Covenant were two cherubs, and then right smack in the middle, the glory of God would be manifested, known as the Shekinah glory. You see, it is here that we see the kingdom of glory represented. The kingdom of grace leads us to the kingdom of glory. Why would the disciples need to know about this prayer that Jesus taught them? Our Father which art in heaven, the Lord's Prayer. Well, they needed to know this because of what Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20 says. I won't put it on the screen, and we might be able to recite it, but we'll look it up anyway. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So this global mission that God gave His disciples, of which we form part of that same mission, had everything to do with Jesus' second coming. Because if Jesus is coming back, should we not be ready? Should we not be actively involved in getting other people ready? And so just in case we forgot, just in case I forgot, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And He's coming soon. The Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Are we still seeking His kingdom first? The kingdom of grace that leads us to the kingdom of glory. Because I could be seeking a lot of things first. In fact, I remember being a young whippersnapper preacher. I know I look young now. But almost 18 years ago, I remember one of our mentors in ministry back in Michigan Conference, and all us unordained ministers needed to go to some meetings to make sure that we knew everything that a ordained minister should know before they let him out loose. And so he told us about a bucket. And he said, you know what, young preacher? You think you something. You think that You do all these amazing stuff in the church. But what you do is kind of like a bucket that's filled with water. And then he said, try punching that water in the bucket. How much change happens? Yeah, water splashes. But you just give it time and the water will eventually stabilize. I always remind myself of the bucket. Why do I share this? Because we could be in church and tempted to think, you know what? I do this for the church. I do that for the church. And you know what? Look at me. I should get some recognition because after all these years in the church, look at what I have done. What did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You see, when I'm just focused on me, there's something hot in the oven. And it looks something like this. Humble pie. I wish humble pie looked as good as that one. But it typically doesn't. In fact, it's not my cup of tea. But whenever I focus on me rather than him and his kingdom and glory, I will have some humble pie served very, very soon. You see, it's his power, not mine. Thine is the kingdom and the power. I remember meeting with, I'll call him young man because he was my age. And he was telling me about some issue that he was having, some temptation that he just couldn't get the victory. And I asked him, God, do you think he has limits? He's like, no, God can do anything. He's like all powerful. And then I looked at him and I said, well, what about you? Do you have limits? He's like, oh yeah, I got limits. I'm weak. And so I told him, therein is your power, in realizing that you don't have it. Because if we're trying to gain victory over some temptation, it's not going to be that someday we're going to wake up and be like, oh, I'm strong enough. Because we won't be. But I do know someone who is very, very powerful. In Christ, there is power. In Christ, we will have victory. In Christ, we will have victory over temptation. The Bible says, then he answered and spake to me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit saith the Lord of hosts, Zechariah 4:6. And the Bible also says that God gives his spirit to those who are faithfully obedient. So if I'm not in line with the will of God, I'm actually hindering the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you shall receive, that sounded like a four-cylinder engine when God has a V12 for us available. But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. When the Holy Spirit is come upon me, and that should be a daily experience, now wherever I go, people see Christ in me. Because the Bible says you shall be what? Witnesses. That's what the Bible says. Let me tell you, the devil's been working overtime in this worship service today. He has. And I say that because the devil doesn't want us to hear what is being presented today. And it started much, much earlier than the sermon, let me tell you. So church, pray. God is trying to do something in us here today. has the Holy Spirit come upon you? That's why I'm so glad we have these 10 days of prayer, these 40 days of prayer. We come to church, and guess what? Sometimes the last thing we do at church is pray. What a wonderful thing that when we come into the church house, the house of God, we kneel before our God and pray. We'll talk to so-and-so. We'll ask about that and the other thing. But to talk to God and pray, we need to pray more, church family. When we bring our hearts into unity with Christ and our lives into harmony with his work, get this, the Spirit that fell on the disciples on the day of Pentecost will fall on who? Us. Wow. You see, back on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were able to speak with other languages that were not studied, that were intelligible, and were able to share the gospel to the known world in their time. And you think we will have less manifestation of the Holy Spirit before Christ returns, or more? More. We are promised more. But unless we ask for the Holy Spirit, you think we're going to get it? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. It's time to be in unity with Christ. It's time to work in harmony with his work, because then the Spirit is going to fall, and the Spirit has started to fall, church family. Wives, love this scripture. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, he might make holy and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a what kind of church? A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Sam, you're going to have to excuse me for a second. I'll reach underneath you. But you see, Rodriguez men really enjoy ironing. True story. My dad loves ironing. I love ironing. But to iron, you need some things. You need an iron. And you need it hot. You also need some water inside, or else there's no steam. And it might also be a good idea to have an ironing board or some type of table so you can iron, because you need something to press on, to sustain you, so that once you lift the garment, it's straight. It's without wrinkle. I remember having a roommate once in academy in high school, and there was an ironing room where you were supposed to go and do your ironing, but he wanted to iron in his room without anybody knowing, and so he proceeded to put on his garment and iron himself. He almost ended up with an unintentional tattoo. But you see, the Bible says that Christ loves us and desires to make us holy. You see, we get married. Sometimes it happens when we're young, sometimes when we're not so young. And over the years, we start getting this. Yeah, it's called wrinkles. And then we look in the mirror, it's like, oh, wow, where did that come from? And oh my. We start getting blemishes. And the Bible says that he wants to sanctify us and cleanse us with the washing of water by the word of God. And so Christ, through his word and Holy Spirit, starts, get this, ironing us out. You see, if the only wrinkles I'm worried about are the one on my face, well, and not giving thought to the wrinkles in my character, maybe I can go get some surgery and get rid of the wrinkles. They'll just stretch some things out for me. But we have no surgeries available in regards to our character wrinkles. But there is someone, Christ, who irons us out and removes the blemishes in our lives. But you know what? The only way that that could ever happen is if we're plugged in. The Lord's Prayer has everything to do with us getting plugged in. Are you plugged in? It's time to plug in, because the Bible says that Christ wants to present to himself what kind of church? A glorious church. And whenever we see the word glory in Scripture, that's synonymous with his character and his name. So get this. Jesus wants our character to look like his, because his character is glorious. We are counseled that Christ shall return when his character is perfectly reproduced in the church. Interesting. Luke 11 verse 13 says, if we who are evil good give good gifts to our children, how much more will who? Will our Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Have we asked for the Holy Spirit? Have we asked our loving Father for the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is at our disposition today. God will give us his power through his Spirit. Why? Because we have communion with the Father through Jesus, the Son. He will give us his Spirit. Why? Because we respect God more than anyone or anything. During this past week in our marriage seminar, one of the points that were reiterated time and time again is that he is to be number one, and my spouse is, yeah, get this, number two. Honey, you're number two. That's all right, because I know I'm number two too. And our children and the rest of whoever's in our lives, they're number three, four, five, and six. But if God ain't first, watch out. It's going to get bumpy. We respect God more than anyone or anything. We are preparing for Jesus' second coming. See, what we're doing here today is getting ready for that moment. Do you believe it? We are doing our Father's will. That's when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. But also, we are living according to his word and sharing it too. See, because if I just come to church and have some Sabbath school time and that's my only Bible time, and I don't share this good word with others, my growth in the Lord and the Spirit guiding me will only be so much. But it's time to live according to his word and to share it too. The Holy Spirit will only come upon me as I also forgive and am forgiven. The Holy Spirit will come to us with great power as we stay with Jesus, which also gives us victory over temptation. Not just that, but daily asking for the Holy Spirit. You see, it's time we pray the way Jesus prayed. But Jesus just didn't pray for the sake of praying. He prayed so that he can live his prayer. And it's time that we not only pray Jesus' prayer, it's time we live Jesus' life. You see, this prayer was to prepare Christ's disciples for the events leading up to seeing Christ in some of his glory. He's coming in all. Are we ready to see Jesus? Are we ready to see Jesus when he comes back? And he's coming back soon. And to be able to be ready for his second coming starts with the kingdom of grace. It continues as the Holy Spirit leads me to his word, to be baptized, of which if you have not been baptized, you need to stop thinking about that moment, and we need to start preparing for that moment, of which I praise the Lord. There's somebody here who's making preparations for that day. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else who needs to make a decision for baptism? Make that decision. Not mañana. Today. How will I be able to see Jesus in all his glory if I haven't accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, the gift from our Heavenly Father? I won't be able to see Jesus in all of his glory if I'm not talking to him. That's like prayer. I won't be able to see him all of his glory if I'm not ready, even though I have accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to be ready for Jesus' second coming if I know I'm not doing his will. Because didn't Jesus say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter what? The kingdom of heaven, but whoever does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Not just that, but if I'm not eating and sharing his word daily, I'm not going to be able to see Jesus in all of his glory. If I'm unforgiving and bitter towards people, much less. If I'm living in sin, Or if I think it's just all about me, myself, and I. You see, Jesus said, for thine is the power and the kingdom and thine is, you know how it goes. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. See, I'm doing this so that you help me. Jesus got this from the Bible. Sometimes we think that Jesus, when he was here on earth, all of a sudden pulled rabbits out of hats. No. You know that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul? Yeah, that's Deuteronomy. And love your neighbor as yourself? That's Deuteronomy 2. And my God, why have you forsaken me? Yeah, that's Psalms chapter 22. Jesus, time and time again, quoted scripture. The Bible says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the what? Power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Have we seen that somewhere? For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom. O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Jesus was just putting these things together in proper light so that we could understand that it is his power, not ours. It's his glory that we need to seek, not our own. The Bible says of what things we should glory in. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. If we think we're smart, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 9:23-24. If we're going to glory in something, it's that we know Jesus. Today's a day to know Jesus. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Do you know Jesus? Today is a day to do that, friends. You see, it's his glory, not mine. It's his character that I need, not mine, because mine is pretty ugly. His glory. Colossians 1:27-29. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. You see, when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, 9 disciples stayed by. They brought this demon-possessed kid to cast out a demon, and they couldn't do it. Jesus, with 3 disciples up on the mount, he sees Moses and Elijah. The disciples want to make some tabernacles to worship them. Jesus says, don't do it. Jesus comes down shining, kind of like how Moses came down from the mountain. They said, Moses, cover yourself because you're just too bright. Jesus comes down. He hears of the dilemma about the boy with the demon. And he tells the father, what's going on? And the father says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. The disciples who couldn't cast out the demon, they asked Jesus, why could we not cast out the demon? And Jesus said, this comes about only by prayer and fasting. The reason why we pray and fast is so that his character is impressed in ours. So we stop looking less like ourselves and more like Jesus, because it is whose glory? His glory. It is whose power? His power. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon what? The throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. This king, this throne of glory, goes along with the kingdom of glory. This is our last quote for the day. We are living in the most solemn period of this world's history. The destiny of Earth's teeming multitudes is about to be decided. Our own future well-being and also the salvation of other souls depend upon which course we now pursue. We need to be guided by the Spirit of truth. Every follower of Christ should earnestly inquire, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We need to humble ourselves before the Lord with fasting and prayer, and to meditate much upon his word, especially upon these scenes of judgment. We should now seek a deep and living experience in the things of God. We have not a moment to lose. Events of vital importance are taking place around us. We are on Satan's enchanted ground. Decisions are being made today for either eternity or perdition. I showed you, this is where we accept Christ, at the symbol of the cross, the altar of burnt offering, the kingdom of grace. And it's his Spirit that leads us all the way through so that we are ready for the kingdom of glory. Because if all I'm ready with is his kingdom of grace, my Bible tells me he's coming back, and he will be sitting on the throne of his glory. It's time we have his glory, his character in us through his Spirit. Prayer is not what you do, church family. Prayer is how you live. It's how you live every single day. The hymn says, face to face shall I behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face, in some of his glory, in all of his glory, I shall see him by and by. May we be ready for that day.
Will you stand with me as we sing hymn number 206? Face to face. We'll sing the first, second, and last. Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, what will I behold him.
Thank you because you give us this time, and this is holy time, not just on this Sabbath day, but this time that you've given us from the moment we've accepted Christ up until we see you in all of your glory. And Father, may we take advantage of this time to look at the cross anew, to come to your word and be changed through your Holy Spirit. And may your grace remind us of your love and of our need to repent, and that you teach us how to pray, and as we permit you to iron out the kinks in our characters. May we reflect Christ more and more as soon we shall see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.